You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage. Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime here on TSO. With me right now, my good friend, brother from a different mother, a man that does everything behind the scenes. We call him Oz. It's Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Dave. And last night at William Dream and Menchie's Coliseum, it was deja vu as the Pirates once again dug a 15-plus point deficit. Last night it was 17 at 52-35 with about 17 minutes to play. But despite still trailing by double figures right there around the 10-minute mark, the Pirates really – really started making some shots. Quentin DeBouger was the one that really stood out the most after not having done much offensively in those first two games. He had 17, and I know we'll go over the team numbers as well as the individual numbers here in a little bit. But as nice as it was to get the victory, I tell you, there are things you got to figure out, because if you keep digging, 15, 17, 19-point deficits, once you play better competition, it's going to catch up with you. And that's what I loved hearing from Coach Schwartz afterwards. Yes, he was happy about the 9-point win, but he said, we got to figure this out.
There's no question about it, and I appreciate him talking about that. I know the cliche is not how you start, it's how you finish, but Pirates get the victory 82-73. Bubba, you're exactly right. And three straight, when you and I always talk about storylines, in this particular case with the basketball team this year for the men's basketball team, and the storyline would be that you start the slow starts, slow to warm, if you will. And man, when they get to the, it seems like, what is it, Bubba, the common pattern is the last few minutes of the first half. So you're basically playing about 15, 17 minutes of trying to figure things out. And all of a sudden, a handful of minutes before the first half is over with, you finally start to see a spark. So my question is, how do you get that? That's what they're in the question of right now with the coaching staff. How do you get the that spark from the start?
That's what Coach Schwartz and the staff are trying to put their finger on, trying to nail down and rectify. After the game last night, Coach Schwartz said he really felt like it's a lot of the inexperience. He also said he felt like, obviously not that first game, but maybe the last couple, that this team, realizing they have the ability to come back from large deficits, and we'll talk more specifically about just how impressive what they've done is, regardless of the competition in terms of those deficits they have overcome. But Coach Schwartz really felt like the guys perhaps – knowing what they could do if they dug a deficit, that probably factored in. And then also just the way we've produced in the second half and the way we've found a way to make shots, that instead of working the ball inside early in the game to create those solid 3-point opportunities, that we just start taking some ill-advised shots early in the shot clock and jacking up threes as opposed to getting some paint touches and then kicking the ball out, be it from Luigi or from Ezra Osar or whoever.
Yeah, we've got to – yeah, I think, Bubba, one of the things I was thinking about was the fact that I pretty much forget that this team is, or a good portion of them, are brand new. So not only that, but you have the guys that I think was six guys that stayed on from Dooley's teams that – are now trying to figure things out with the new guys. So I'm not trying to make any excuses. I just think the chemistry is like I was thinking about in the green room. It's like you have like parts to an engine like lying around, but you got to put that engine together. Or if you want another cliche or analogy, I should say, is like puzzle pieces of a puzzle you're trying to put together. So in hockey, Bubba, they have like the different lines. There's usually four lines of guys that are playing. Well, in basketball, it's starting five, and you've got different guys you have in the rotation. And I think that's what's going to be interesting to see as we go down the throughout the season, is to see what starting five and see what guys are rotating in and out, don't you think?
Yeah, a lot of different rotations and combinations being utilized and experimented with to see what is the most effective. And I'm sure that will continue throughout non-conference play and probably into the American to see, you know, what exactly is the most effective. And, you know, taking a look at some of the numbers from this game, we talk about the comebacks. These three comebacks, Dave, that the Pirates have produced in their first three games. Pirates, as you see there on the screen, have overcome a 16-plus point deficit in each of their first three ball games against Mercer, Presbyterian, and Hampton. Those comebacks rank tied for 10th, tied for 2nd, and tied for 5th. Of course, against Mercer, the Pirates overcame a 16-point deficit. Against Presbyterian, it was 19. And then last night, it was 17. As I mentioned, it was 52-35 with just under 17 minutes remaining. And with those three comebacks, the Pirates have now won 18 straight non-conference games at Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum. And we talk about the play after halftime. We are outscoring our opponents on average 49-31.7, so a 17.3 margin of you know, outscoring the opposition after halftime.
I just love that. I'm so excited about that. With the very fact of, Bubba, the one thing that comes to mind that you have to say is this team has been fun to watch. It's been definitely, they don't give up. The fight in this team, where you and I have watched a lot of Pirate basketball over the years, individually and together, and it's a matter of a lot of times these teams in the past would have made maybe trade baskets, or they give you a little bit of a run and false hope, but man, this team comes back like a tidal wave. But the problem is, at some point, you'll be underwater and you won't be able to come out of there. So we've got to do better of getting a hot start. And I guess, like I said, it's early on in the preseason now, where you're trying to find out the right combinations. I hope that's the case. And like you said before, we're really happy, ecstatic to be 3-0, but we've got to figure things out as far as when you get into the likes of Old Dominion, some of the other non-conference, and of course the conference. My goodness, you can't give Houston or any team spot them, 10, 15 points.
Yeah, no doubt. Starting on Monday night, and we'll talk more about that tournament later on, going down to Florida Gulf Coast Showcase. And Pirates will begin play against Indiana State, and we'll take a look at that bracket here in a few minutes. But along the lines of experimenting with the rotations and finding energy and pressing the right buttons, Coach Schwartz said in last night's post game following the win over Hampton, he really gave a lot of credit to Luigi DeBoe, to David Kasunganai, Winston Tabbs, and Jaden Walker. He said those four young men provided a lot of energy when we desperately needed it, when the energy was lacking on the offense. Both on the offensive and defensive ends, but particularly the defensive end. We were not rotating quickly enough. Our help defense wasn't what it needed to be. Kasunganai came in, provided five quick points, finished the game with seven. Knocked down a big three and showed some emotion there. Winston Tabbs had a quick 7 points and looked the best he's looked to date as a Pirate. Jaden Walker had 6 points and did some nice things. And then Luigi DeBoe, despite having just 4 points, really brought some energy and did things to help turn the tide there in the first half and on into the second half. So I thought that was very interesting that Mike Schwartz noted the performance of those four young men.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm really proud of those guys. And, you know, Bubba, something we talked about on Saturday in a group text is the fact that even though it was not last night, but Saturday gave us a chance, unfortunately, when it was unfortunate that Brandon Johnson, we obviously don't want him to be sick, but it was the next man up mentality. And these guys, they need quality minutes, and they were able to get some. And then you have last night, you have the big win, 82-73. And then we'll be talking in a little bit about our big road trip, the preseason tournament to Florida, and the big tournament and the men's Gulf Coast Showcase coming there. And I think it's Estero, Florida, but that'll be starting on Monday. We'll talk more about that. But this game, one of the confusing things is, though, I love the voice of the Pirates very much, Jeff Charles, and I had to pay, not because of him, I had to pay close attention, Bubba, because it was Pirates against Pirates. So usually when I hear Pirates, I get excited, but some of the time it was the wrong Pirates, the Hampton Pirates that were scoring, and I had to pay close attention last night listening to the radio.
They had a graphic.
I don't know, Bub, if you can hear me. I can't. There, I got you back, I think, now.
Okay. The Pirates had played Hampton three or four times. And also, there's been a meeting between, obviously, they're not the Pirates, but you had the East Tennessee State Buccaneers and also the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. And then East Carolina and Seton Hall have never squared off. Hall. But you mentioned Brandon Johnson. It was nice to have Brandon back after the flu-like sickness kept him out of the Presbyterian game over the weekend. And Brandon had a double-double. And we'll go to some of those numbers, individual numbers as well as team numbers. Brandon Johnson finished last night 15 points, 12 rebounds, and did not on the art, but another terrific game from Brandon Johnson, and as he had 15 points and 12 rebounds in 29 minutes coming off that flu-like sickness. And then you had, I mentioned Quentin DeBouge's production, and most of that was in the second half. For Quentin, 17 points, 4 out of 6 from 3 in 26 minutes. And then Javon Small continues to impress, the Pirate point guard, 17 points, 5 out of 12 from the floor, 6 assists and 5 rebounds. So a solid all-around night with Javon Small doing a little bit of everything. You had, as I mentioned, also David Kasanganai and Winston Tabbs with 7 apiece. Luigi DeBoe and Caleb LeCount had 4. Jaden Walker, 6. And R.J. Felton had 5.
Yeah, Javon Small and R.J., man, have really come up big for the Pirates. And but I think is this the good news, Bubba, is that if these other guys can really step up, it'll be definitely the ceiling will be really high for this team, and hopefully we can get over 500 is the hope, and then especially with conference play, that's my key.
Certainly, and as I mentioned, the team stats. Taking a look for our viewers, East Carolina finished the game shooting 40%, 26 out of 65, 10 out of 33 from beyond the arc. As a Pirate, shot 15 more threes than did Hampton. As the Hampton Pirates were 9 out of 18, 50% on the night. East Carolina shot a very solid 76.9% from the charity stripe, 20 out of 26. Meanwhile, Hampton was 12 out of 16, 75%. The Purple Pirates out-rebounded the Hampton Pirates 43-37. East Carolina had 15 assists. Hampton had 16. East Carolina had 12 turnovers as opposed to 16 for Hampton.
Yeah, turnovers are not great, but it was certainly a lot better than what this time of year sometimes you can have where it's sloppy play because you're getting the rust off, so to speak, is my son and daughter are working off-season work right now, having to get used to switching sports, Bubba, as you know, with your son and daughter. And it's like, that's what I've been talking to them about, is the off-season work. And so getting the rust off, and I think the same thing with the Pirates, is that they're getting the rust off, finding their niche. They're finding, I guess, their role, so to speak, on the team. Will they be the sixth man? Will they be in the starting five? And so now we have a good test. I didn't know if you want to add any more for last night's game, or do you want to go ahead and talk about the tournament winner?
There were a couple more points that I had about last night's game. Coach Schwartz in the post game said that Benjamin Biala was going to start. Unfortunately, he came down with a sickness that was unspecified. It is not COVID from everything we heard. But Benjamin Biala, you know, he had played 20 minutes or so in each of the first two games, provided a lot of energy and done some nice things despite not scoring much. And so a shame that he was unavailable last night, but good that some others had the opportunity to step up. And I want to go back to the performance of Quentin Abunjie. Coach Schwartz was talking about Quentin after the game, saying that he was very close to having a seat and putting his warm-up or shooting shirt back on and spending the rest of his evening clapping for his teammates because of his lack of effort and focus on the defensive end. But that changed when he was challenged by Coach Schwartz and staff. And as a result, he was in the game and made the difference both defensively as well as knocking down four threes. I think at least three of those came after halftime. And Quentin was red hot down the stretch when the Pirates needed him to be. And then also Coach Schwartz just said that with the lack of focus and whatever's going on in the first half and feeling like that we can just dig ourselves a hole and find a way to shoot ourselves out of it after halftime, that's fool's gold. And that if we don't figure that out, it's going to come back to bite us sooner rather than later. He said that last night, yes, we were able to come back and win by 9, but that was a game that we really could have lost very easily by 15 or 20 points because of the way we played for the first probably 20 to 25 minutes, if not 30 minutes of the game. But those were the main things. And one thing that I found very interesting, not necessarily just about last night's game, but this year, college basketball in general. And it's good to see because it's kind of been a pet peeve of mine over the last several years. And that is the flops that you would see and guys just flat out throwing themselves backwards to get a call. And if you do that now, if the official gets a good look at it and he deems that is the case, that you're flopping, that it is a one-shot penalty, one-shot foul, however you want to say it, for the other team. So that's something that Pirates were able to capitalize on at least once, if not a couple of times last night. And I believe Hampton took advantage of it a time or two as well.
It's one of the rules committee. And the only issue is that, what I was going to say is it doesn't count as a personal foul or a technical foul, but it could be it could be the foul shot plus the ball, right, Bubba?
I believe that's correct as far as a shot in the ball.
Yeah. So, in other words, it doesn't count as a personal foul or a technical foul. However, it doesn't count towards that, but it still could be a momentum swing of 4 points potentially. And when you're having, you're fighting and you're a new team and all that, that really. In other words, we're not a blue blood team where we've got an established program where we should be blowing people out by 30 or 40 points in some of these preseason games. It's a matter of we're fighting for wins every single night. In the non-conference, we can't afford to lose a single game in non-conference, even though I'm sure we will. It would be nice if we could go undefeated in non-conference play before we go to the American.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, non-conference games in Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum, no, the majority of those games haven't
been against stout competition. But if you look back through East Carolina's basketball history, and that's something that we were saying with under the previous regime, people wanted to laugh about some of those non-conference wins. Well, some of those teams weren't as bad as people thought they were, for one. And two, even though they weren't, you know, top 100, top 150 teams, there are teams that we've historically struggled with, be it UNC Wilmington or whoever. And it was great to see us take care of business the way we're supposed to in those games. And even though it's been interesting thus far through three games this year, having faced a 16-plus point deficit in each of the first three games, we still found a way to take care of business and win three games that we were supposed to win. And with this young team that has so many unproven pieces, guys that just are flat out doing things for the first time at the Division I level, that says a lot about Coach Schwartz and his staff and the guys buying in, that they're finding a way to battle back from 15, 16, 19 point deficits.
No question, Bubba. I'm really proud of the team. And like I said, it's going to be, not to repeat myself, but it's good to start. We could easily be 0-3, as you know. So 3-0, we move on. And if you're ready, we can talk about the Gulf Coast Showcase. I think that I'm really happy with this tournament. I think that one of the things that I'm happy about is that great place to play. Maybe they can recruit, but I love these preseason. I know you. It's the same way with bowl games or football. For me, I love these preseason tournaments for basketball. It gets me really in the mood, and this is right before Thanksgiving next week, and hey, you're in the great state of Florida.
No doubt. Awesome trip for our guys to travel down to the Gulf Coast to face some very quality opponents, some no household names, but you have on East Carolina's side of the bracket, the Pirates will begin play with the Indiana State Sycamores. Obviously, when you think of the Indiana State Sycamores, you think back to the 1970s and the late 70s with Larry Bird, when he had the Sycamores playing Magic Johnson and Michigan State for an NCAA title. But the Pirates will play against the currently 2-0 Sycamores, trying to look at their schedule very quickly to see if they play between now and then. I don't believe they do, but or they may actually play tonight against North Dakota State. But Indiana State, as I mentioned, is 2-0 going into tonight's matchup with the North Dakota State Bison. The Sycamores defeated Green Bay. That's Wisconsin Green Bay. I think they just now go by Green Bay. And they defeated them 80-53, so a 27-point win. And then they also defeated Ball State out of the MAC 83-71. So a 2-0 start with a couple of double-digit wins for the Indiana State Sycamores, who will be the Pirates' fourth game of the season on Monday. That will be a 1:30 tip-off on Monday afternoon down in Florida.
No doubt about it, Bubba. It's going to be fun to see that. I wish we could be there, but it's hard with this time of year with this particular week for me. Great that, by the way, 11-20 for Indiana State last year, but I think they're going to be a lot better, as you said, the 2-0 start. And then the fact that if you're wondering how you can watch it, well, it's not going to be on ESPN Plus. It's Flow Sports. And this particular case, Flow Hoops. And to let you know, it's like $29.99 a month, or you can get it for, I think, for the whole year. But get this, Bubba, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, the Pirates will have three games in this tournament. So we have three games that you'll get there. Plus, the War on the Shore, we have at UNCW, and they're also on Flow Hoops. So you get four games. And after the Wilmington game, I'll probably cancel it, but go ahead. And if you want to get it, it's the same thing. Just like if you have ESPN Plus, you're paying for it to pay-per-view, if you will. And this particular case, Flow Hoops is the way to go if you want to watch your Pirates.
It really is. And And for the Pirates, if they are victorious on Monday afternoon against the Sycamores of Indiana State, they will advance to play on Tuesday. And I believe that looks to be 5 o'clock. And if the Pirates lost against Indiana State, they would play on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And that would be against either Toledo or Missouri, Kansas City, UMKC, taking on the Toledo Rockets. On Monday, and that's the first game of the event at 11 o'clock, and Toledo's off to a 3-0 start, and man, do they put up some points. The Toledo Rockets, listen to this, they beat Valpo 85-70, wow. UAB 93-85, and Oakland 112-90, so they are scoring, 97 points a game?
Yeah, there you go. And I can't do the math like you can, but it's high enough to know that's a lot of points. And by the way, Bubba, last year, Toledo out of the MAC 26-8. So they had an amazing ride, and they lost to Akron, by the way, which denied them a bid to the Big Dance. But I tell you what, don't count out Toledo this year. They're going to make a big run, I'm sure, in the MAC. And again, good competition for the Pirates. And this is good to see with this. I think it's great, the non-conference schedule we have, including this preseason tournament. I just think it has a nice feel to it. And another great thing about this tournament, Bubba, it's good competition, but we also have games that we can win, where it's not like a uphill battle, so to speak.
You know, on the other side of the bracket, and speaking of some of those teams, the Pirates could play in game three of the tournament, be it in the championship or in, you know, a third or seventh place game. You have the Drexel Dragons, UT Arlington, Northern Kentucky, and FGCU, of course, Florida Gulf Coast. And just off the top of my head, I'd say the top team on that side of the bracket is Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky was victorious against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Big regional matchup there, not very far at all, separating those two programs there, as NKU is just across the river from UC, and they were able to take down Wes Miller and his Bearcats 64-51 on Wednesday night.
No doubt about it. And like I said, it's going to be good competition with the Pirates, and it'll be good for us to be able to this will be a true, I hate to say it, but it's a true test for this Pirate team. And like we talked about, you know, several times during the show, Bubba, we can't get behind these teams in this tournament. And I don't care who it is. I don't care what their record was last year. You can throw that. And sometimes, Bubba, as you know, these teams, when you're in a tournament, it's like a whole different season, so to speak. And some guys just thrive on a tournament. I think Americans love a tournament and a playoff. And so these guys, they really showcase their talents, and maybe they step up their game. I hate to use that term. But when it comes to a tournament, some of these guys will shoot the lights out, where normally they would might be have average numbers, and their numbers might be a little bit inflated because they love tournaments.
Yeah, it's great for the team. Another situation going on the road to play three games in as many days. And tournament play is a different animal. And being at a neutral site, a lot of times you're not going to have very much of an atmosphere. You're going to have smaller crowds. And right. So being down in Florida, a good bonding experience for these youthful Pirates, and a great opportunity for them to play some games against solid competition, three basketball games in less than 72 hours. And hopefully the Pirates will be able to come back with some wins and who knows, maybe be 6-0 or 5-1. But we're definitely, if we're going to have a chance to win the thing, we have to shore up some things that we've seen issues with so far. I'm very excited about the 3-0 start. But like Coach Schwartz said, I'm well aware of what can happen if we don't get some things rectified.
No doubt. And next up is, like we said, Indiana State on the clock on Monday. So it's good that we have a few days. I know they'll have a travel day in there, and It's good to rest their legs, knowing that we have, like you said, Bubba, three games in the 72-hour period. And by the way, here's another thing, Bubba, I want to mention to fans is that you and I are nerds when it comes to sports nerds, that is. For those of us that are in the Greenville area, we have the Saturday after Thanksgiving. There is a big game at Old Dominion, which is not too far away from Greenville, a couple hours away, 2 or 3 hours away, depending on where you are in the Greenville area. And, man, that would be a great game to get a lot of Pirates up there in Norfolk.
Yeah, it would, Dave. And then also, this is basically a month down the road, but on Saturday, December 17th.
I knew you were going to mention that. Yep.
Charlotte area Pirates, Western North Carolina Pirates, Upstate South Carolina Pirates, you know, or on the Pirates, we taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks in Greenville. Very nice arena. Great opportunity to play a winnable game against an SEC opponent. The Gamecocks are 2-0 with two thrilling victories, 80-77 over South Carolina State, a team the Pirates also play. And that South Carolina State game is in Minges right after the Pirates travel to Old Dominion. And then the Gamecocks had also beaten the Clemson Tigers in that huge rivalry matchup in that game.
Yeah, Bubba, and one more thing. We're talking about traveling. Those of you that are in the Wilmington area, we've got December 6th at Tuesday night. We've got the UNCW game. There are a lot of the people that maybe can travel to that game, or if you live in southeastern North Carolina, not too far away from Trask Coliseum and UNCW, the Pirates will be playing UNCW that Tuesday night, December 6th at 7 o'clock.
Yep, that's always a heck of a challenge when you go to Trask Coliseum, and I know the Seahawks, as they always are, will be geared up for the Pirates' arrival, and it'll take our best effort to come out of there victorious. That's a place we have not won very much.
No, not at all. Even when we had teams that could have beat them, we have a tough time there. But anyway, the most important thing is the next game. Again, we have Friday. And so good luck to the Pirates taking on Indiana State again at 1:30, the Gulf Coast Showcase, and that'll be on Flow Hoops. Go ahead and get your login. Go ahead and pay for it. You'll have a chance to watch those three games on the Gulf Coast Showcase one more time. And we'll mention again, UNCW is also on Flow Hoops. So you can do like I did, $29.99. You get four games, and then you can cancel it afterwards. But great to at least we have them on television as well. Do you have anything else, Bubba, before we get out of here?
One other thing I was going to chime in with, and that's just, you know, you brought up UNC Wilmington and how the Pirates haven't played very well down there through the years. Probably the best game I recall us playing there was back in the Mac McCarthy era. The Pirates went down there and I think James League and Brock Young and company knocked down a lot of threes that night and really lit up the Seahawks, scoring, I think, close to 100 points. And I think that was probably the best game we've ever played at Trask Coliseum.
No doubt about it. And that'll be a lot of fun. And that's always, like we talked about, it's a tough game. It's kind of like a rivalry for us, I think, in basketball and certainly baseball. So hopefully we can win the war on the shore, my friend.
Yeah, that would be a nice road win, no doubt. And the only other thing I'd say, you know, we appreciate everyone tuning in. We appreciate your support of the program. Follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok, or actually just on Twitter now at the Sports OBJ, on TikTok and Instagram at the Sports Objective. And then also like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel as we're approaching 700 subscribers. Encourage your friends, if they follow the Pirates, maybe even they already listen to the show but aren't subscribed on YouTube, encourage all Pirates you know to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We greatly appreciate it.
No doubt. And again, one more time, 82-73, the Pirates win on our Pirate Basketball Overtime, where they beat the Hampton Pirates. And we've got a lot of great programming. Good luck to the Pirates on Saturday for Senior Day. Get your tickets, ecupirates.com or 1-800-DAL-ECU. They had sold a little over 40,000 seats, and hopefully we can get more for Holt Naylor's and Miles Berry and also X-Man Xavier Smith. We can get them to send them out the right way, and hopefully we can get a big victory as the Pirates take on Houston at 2 o'clock at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. All right, for Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond. You've been watching, and that will be Pirate Basketball Overtime here on TSO. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates! Put your crossbones up and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to the island, man. It's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank for the Shark Tank. Traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of body sailors in here. You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!